Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
What I would say to Tyrese Halliburton is this. You know what you can do when you're healthy. That means you know what you're not doing when you're not healthy. And if you see your teammate flowing like that, there is absolutely positively nothing wrong with you rolling over to the coach and whispering in his ear, TJ is rolling.
You're listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We're live in our Brighton studio, which is powered by Verizon. If you missed any part of the show, including the interview with Christopher Smith from Mass Live, you can always go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to the Christian Arcan Show on the Odyssey app or wherever it is that you find your podcasts. That was Stephen A. Smith, the always rational, level-headed Stephen A. Smith, talking about Tyrese Halliburton, who is going to be a game-time decision, but said he wants to play tonight. Despite
they made it official. He will be active.
He's playing. Okay, great. So the game starts in like 20 minutes. So they'll be tipping off soon, and Halliburton is going to play. He has the strained quad, and I think that's probably not you saw how he looked in Game 5.
No field goals because of that calf strain.
He was his calf. That's what it was, not his quad. He was terrible in that game. Like, literally just a detriment to the team. And I think what was a game-time decision here was, are you injured so badly that if we put you on the floor, it's going to be a liability? We know you're not going to be Tyrese Halliburton, but can we even play you? Can we give you a uniform? Can we put you out there on defense and not have you get blown by because your calf is still sore? Are you going to be able to do anything other than shoot open jumper? Like, can you get to the basket? Can you cut? What can you do? And I'm not sure he can do much. I'm not sure that what you saw in Game 5 has suddenly gotten a lot better. There's been a lot of time in between these games. Oh, my God, these finals games. I thought there was a game last night. There wasn't. I was like, you got to be kidding me. It's just such a long stretch in between these games. But either way, if TJ McConnell flowing is how you're expected to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight because Halliburton's not there and Halliburton's got to step aside and let his guy flow or whatever it was Stephen A. was saying there. And that guy is TJ McConnell, not Pascal Siakam, okay? Not another all-star. TJ McConnell, who, by the way, I think is a good little player, but if that's the guy that your NBA Finals hopes and dreams are resting on the shoulders of,
TJ is rolling.
You might as well just hand it over to Gilgeous Alexander and Chet Holmgren and the rest of those guys right now. Don't even play the game. If that's what you're counting on, if the Pacers are really counting on TJ McConnell to save the day, then this is over, and it was probably over anyway. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be the NBA champions. And I think they're going to be another one and done just like everybody else. I heard the afternoon show saying, no, 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 this is going to be different. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think they'll have their year. I think next year they'll... Someone will figure him out, or an injury will happen, or something. I don't know. I mean, it's just this is the way of the league right now, and I don't think these Thunders stand out to me enough as a team that's special. I thought the Celtics were a lot more special than these Thunder. And injuries obviously had something to do with that, but it wasn't just injuries. Oh, well, the Thunder are going to bring the whole roster back. Yeah, the Celtics brought the whole roster back and had a disappointing year and an embarrassing end of the season in the playoffs against a team they dominated all year long. I'm not super impressed with bringing the whole roster back. I don't think that's really a great way to do things. That makes the fans happy. Oh, yeah, right. We got Luke Kornet back, and, you know, Sam Hauser's still here, and we're going to extend all every single player on the team. No one's going anywhere except O'Shea Brissett. He was the only one they let go. Other than that, everybody stayed. And, you know, you can blame Tatum for or the Tatum injury for the way the season ended, but that season was over before Tatum got injured. That game was over before he got injured, and they weren't coming back, even if Tatum was perfectly healthy. You could tell. The Knicks had them. And to just assume that, well, the Thunder, I mean, yeah, they'll definitely come back and win another one. Like, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think the NBA is in that kind of place. And I don't see the Oklahoma City Thunder being the next dynasty of this league. And I kind of hope it's not.
It's also, they're going to go through what the Celtics are going through now in terms of cap casualties. They have so many guys the Thunder do on those rookie deals.
Right.
Like they have Holmgren, Jalen Williams. They have so many guys where they have that financial flexibility. And just like the Celtics, they're going to reach a point where they cannot pay everybody.
Yeah. I don't think they're not going to pull a Grossbeck and just sign everyone and go crazy into the aprons and all that. We'll see. I think they're going to keep their main three. I think they're going to keep Holmgren and Jalen the hell's his name?
Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams, thank you. I kept wanting to say Jalen Smith, and I'm like, that's not right.
Jalen well, there's Williams. Two Jalen Williams, so pick one.
Right. The good one.
The one who's the all-star. Yeah.
So I think those three will be there, and if they can keep that core, then they don't need to sign every single player. They don't need Alex Caruso and like every single other guy that they have. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think it's over tonight. I think they win easily. I also wanted to touch on the Jaylen Brown, Derek White trade rumors, which have now suddenly become this big story. And it was because of Shams Charania on the Pat McAfee show said the teams are trying to get White and Brown, but the Celtics asking price is astronomically high. Do we have this from Shams? Okay, so Shams says teams are throwing crazy offers out for guys like Brown and White, but it will take an insurmountable package to get those guys out of Boston. The Celtics, I don't think, are going to hang up the phone if someone calls and asks for Jaylen Brown or Derek White. I don't think they're going to say nope and make it a non-starter. I don't think we're at that point. I think that the Celtics and Brad Stevens will be taking calls on everyone. Tatum being the exception because he's out for the year, but like everybody on the roster is movable. I don't want to say, I was about to say expendable, but that's not true. They're not expendable, but they are movable. And when you find yourself in a position like this one the Celtics are in now, which was a very abrupt pivot from budding dynasty to what the hell are we supposed to do now? It went from we run the league and the world is our oyster to what the hell are we going to do? How are we going to go forward with this? How are we going to make this work? How are we going to survive a season without our best player and our other best player coming off meniscus surgery? And who the hell else is even going to be here? Brad Stevens has a very, very comprehensive offseason that he has to embark on. And I don't even know what the first priority is at this point.
The thing is, though, is you don't want to be reactionary. You don't want to think right of this season. Like, yes, this season is going to be lost to an extent. They could still be a playoff team, but they're not going to be a championship level team.
And you don't want to tank for like some draft pick, you know?
Exactly. Like, so it's like you're not going to, like, we both agree that like the big three, it when they're healthy, Tatum, Brown, Derek White.
Mm-hmm.
We agree on that. But because two of them,
I don't know that we ever agreed to call them the big three, but we can go ahead and do that.
this big three, that's the new core.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to blow that up just because one season gets lost.
Yeah, you don't. But the core, I don't know that this core right now with Tatum coming back and maybe not being the same player, a season with Jaylen Brown as the main guy. And I love Derek White, I do, but he was not good in the playoffs. Derek White really, really disappointed me in that Knicks series. And everyone did. It wasn't just him. I mean, you know, Jrue Holiday was bad. Everybody was bad. I don't think anybody really covered themselves in glory in that series at all. But that includes Derek White, and that's sort of, I guess, the point here, is that, like, I love Derek White. He's a Colorado guy. I love Derek White. But it's not blowing it up if you make a good trade. If you, like, trading Kemba Walker for Al Horford at the time seemed like, wow, you're trading one of your best scorers to bring back Al Horford. That seems like not a deal that moves you forward. But it ended up being exactly that. And I trust Brad Stevens. That's the other thing about this, is that I trust Brad Stevens more than I trust any other GM, more than I trust Breslow, more than I trust Elliott Wolf, more than I trust Don Sweeney. Maybe all of those guys combined. I think I might trust Stevens more than all three of them combined. I trust Brad Stevens almost completely. He hasn't made a bad move yet. What's a bad move that he's made? That big stiff they signed, Mike Muscala, remember that? Maybe that guy, I don't know. He was not like he had some big role on the team. But that's about it. Other than that, I've really liked just about every single thing he's done. And this past offseason was a masterstroke. Or not the past one, the one before that, when they won the title. Like, that was brilliant, the basketball maneuvering. And so I trust that he'll be able to maneuver through this. But even with his great skill and ability, it's going to be very, very hard to offset losing Jason Tatum and also whatever Jaylen Brown's going to be, and trying to get returns for Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. If you end up trading them away, that's going to be able to contribute now. It's just a lot. There's a lot of plates spinning in the air right now, and that's a lot of stuff for Brad Stevens to get to. And I wish him the best. 617-779-7937. Roger is in Westerly. He has a thought on the Celtics Knicks series. Go ahead, Roger.
Hey, Christian. Good talking with you as always.
Thank you.
Is it just my imagination dominated the Knicks throughout the regular season? But I don't think Anunoby dressed for any of those games, and Mitchell Robinson didn't dress for any of those games. And certainly, it's still trash that the Celtics ended like they did, and nobody foresaw the Tatum injury. But right, I mean, does that make a little bit of a difference in what happened?
To me, no, not really. They had 20-point leads in those first two games, Roger. They were up 20 points in games one and two in the second half, in one of the games in the fourth quarter. And they blew those leads. I mean, that, you know, OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, whatever. Like, they were in control of those first two games and should have been in control of that series. And instead, they gagged it about as bad as I've seen a team gag. Really, I mean, really, really ugly. And then the Knicks turned around and they gagged it away to the Pacers right after that. So, I don't know. Maybe it was contagious. Contagious gagging. Which sounds like a movie you rent in a hotel room and then lie to your wife about. But
you go to that special video store.
Exactly. The one, you're flipping around. It's like, ooh, well, what have we here?
That's the one where you look away and just like, what's that again?
What's this on the hotel bill? Nothing. They just went in the mini bar. Oh, yeah, the mini bar? Is that contagious gagging? That's from the minibar? That's weird. Contagious gagging 3? Yes. Well, I had to have the questions from 1 and 2 answered, and I needed to watch 3. That's why. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. There's your basketball minute. When we come back, we'll get to the nightly news. Follow-up on Karen Reed and that verdict. Also, some news about the beaches that are closing this weekend, which I'm not happy about. But first, there is an article on ESPN today about luxury items in the NFL, and the Patriots have one of them. And it's probably not who you're expecting. I'll tell you who it is right after Joe Braverman gets you caught up on what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
49-yard field goal attempt for the Dolphins and Jason Sanders. Patriots went on late, and they got a piece of it. It was blocked off the edge by Brendan Schooler, and Duggar recovers on the other side of midfield.
Did you see that play? We talk about motion on offense. There's motion with Schooler on defense here.
Williams, pressure coming late, and down he goes. Brendan Schooler got there. Tunga Vailoa chased out of the pocket, and they get to him. Brendan Schooler coming with some serious heat from the blind side corner.
Some Brendan Schooler highlights for you there. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Number one, he was an all-pro last year. All-pro special teamer, but still. He was their only all-pro, right? There's nobody else. Or was Gonzalez an all-pro? No, I can't remember. Maybe he was second team? Or maybe he wasn't all, I can't remember. All I know is that Schooler was. And he had some big plays. Big enough to catch the attention of a one Bill Barnwell over at ESPN, who today has an article up on ESPN that says, NFL luxury players in 2025, the best slot corner, backup QB, and more. And I understand the premise here. Luxury items. Jess Schooler. Schooler was the only all-pro for the Patriots last year. And so here are the luxury positions. Sixth offensive lineman, blitzing off-ball linebacker, slot corner, kickoff guy, gunner, blocking tight end, short yardage running back, fourth wide receiver, gadget player, backup QB, and two-down defensive tackle. The best backup quarterback luxury item is Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, for example. The best gadget player is Marvin Mims with the Broncos. Short yardage running back, Kareem Hunt with the Chiefs, etc. Blocking tight end, Josh Oliver, tight end. Obviously, he's a tight end. And the best special teams gunner is Brendan Schooler. And Barnwell writes this, while the once vaunted Patriots special teams fell apart and ranked among the worst in football by the time Belichick was fired, the third facet of the game was one of the few places where the Patriots held their own last year. New England ranked second in special teams EPA, trailing only the Steelers, forced an unreal 11 fumbles on kickoff and punt plays, the most by any team since 2004. The most significant force behind that was Schooler, who was rewarded with his efforts for a first-team All-Pro nod. In addition to blocking a punt in October against the Dolphins, Schooler added something to his resume: defense. Patriots used him on defense 50 snaps, and while half of them came in Week 18 over the Bills, a meaningless win, Barnwell calls it, but it was not meaningless. It was not meaningless at all. There was deep meaning to that win. Not good, though. He was used more regularly to spy opposing quarterbacks. In limited time, he managed to chase down a pair of sacks, and that left him tied for fourth on the team in that category. Signed to a three-year extension, Schooler is one of the few Patriots to come out of 2024 looking like he would have fit in during the Patriots-New England dynasty. So I read all that, and I know this is a very specialized kind of niche article here from Barnwell, but it did get me wondering. That was their only all-pro last year was Brendan Schooler, and they were a four-win team, and they were coached by a guy who didn't know what he was doing, and their rookie quarterback had some growing pains and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do they have now? And I don't mean this to say that they didn't improve the team, But what do they have now when you're reading these articles, and we're going to be reading these previews about who has the best this and who has the best that and who, you know, like, are the Patriots the best at anything? Are the Patriots even, like, top three in anything? Defensive front, maybe? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're top three. Like, I think they got better there with Williams, obviously.
I think the closest argument you could make is at the cornerback position, because you got Gonzalez on one side, you signed Carlton
and Davis. Yeah,
but that's very fringe. That's very fringe.
You know? And that's, I mean, that's an important position group, obviously, but it's just two guys. And the Ravens just signed Jaire Alexander, and they already had a good secondary. Marlon Humphrey and, like, all those guys, they have a good secondary in the Baltimore already. And they just signed Alexander. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's areas where the Patriots will be certainly improved. But the reason why I'm not quite taking the cheese yet when it comes to the idea that they could be a playoff team is because I still don't think they're really good at anything yet. I don't look at the roster now, even with the improvements on the defense, and think that's a really good defense now. I think it'll be better. But is it really good? Is it a really good defense? And I hope it is. I mean, listen, I do hope so, but I wouldn't say that looking at it on paper at this point, considering how much of it is going to be new guys kind of trying to fit in and contribute, I don't know. It's hard to whip a defense together that quickly, and I think that's what Mike Vrabel's being tasked with here.
Key word you said was yet. They could prove it over time.
Absolutely.
But just as of right now, nothing.
And I certainly hope they do. By the way, the Ravens secondary, nasty.
That's number one right there.
Jaire Alexander, Nate Wiggins, Marlon Humphrey, your corners. Malachi Starks, who the safety from Georgia, who I love, and they drafted in, I think, the first round. And Kyle Hamilton are your two safeties. That is a dirty secondary.
They know Baltimore just knows how to put together a good defense.
Oof. Passing on them? Ugh, man. You know, like, you just think of, like, the Patriots wide receivers trying to get open against those guys. Like, ugh. Tough, except for maybe Steph Diggs, I guess. But I don't know. I probably won't have to worry about that this year. Anyway, it's just after 8:30. That means it's time for the New England Nightly News.
New England Nightly News.
All right, we'll start with what might be the last Karen Reed update for a while here. She was found not guilty of the two big counts, murder two and vehicular manslaughter, and walked out of Dedham District Court, whatever the court is. She walked out of that courthouse a free woman. Convicted of the OUI, first-time offender, going to get probation, not going to see any jail time. Her supporters, of course, overjoyed. The O'Keefe family and, you know, the people who believe that she did it are very upset about it. I saw a lot of people and heard from a lot of people around Dedham and the Canton area who I knew were going into this. And I feel like most of the people who knew him that I've heard from, some directly and some just, you know, on TV and in the documentaries and stuff like that, almost everybody from his camp thought that she did it. And everybody in the family thought she did it. And that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean you get convicted because the family thought you did it. But, like, they were very starkly on the other side of that. Like, they believed that she was that she actually did it. And they believed that the whole way through. And they, you know, didn't think that the conspiracy was there or whatever. But, like, that's the part. And when I said this last night and I was talking about the people tailgating at the trial and all that, you know, it's a free country. You can do what you want. But I did have the family in mind saying those things. And I know that the family has been attacked by these people. And I think that that's, you know, really distasteful. But in the end, you know, they're the ones who don't have their family member. And it's not just him. It was the sister, too. And it's just for a family that's gone through all that, this seems cruel to, you know, it's not cruel to have her walk. You know, that's the justice system. And listen, whether you agree with this or not, justice was served here. Justice was absolutely served here. Even if you think she 100% was guilty, that was a jury of her peers, and they did not convict her. So, I mean, that's, you know, you may have your problems with the judicial system here in this country, but I think it's the best in the world. I mean, I really do. I think we have the best system in the world the way we do it. And, you know, that was justice. That was justice, whether you agree with it or not. Same with every other high-profile trial that had an outcome you didn't like or did like, whatever, Kyle Rittenhouse or OJ or whoever. I mean, it's, you know, like whenever there's the Menendez brothers, whenever there's one of these big trials, it becomes like sports kind of. There's two sides. There's teams. And I just, you know, I tried not to treat it like that. I tried not to discuss it like that because I just don't, especially considering there's a family still who lives around here and is still has to go live their lives every day without their son and without their daughter. It's just that, I think that Karen Reed's family and all of that should be thrilled. They really should. And whatever was going to happen here wasn't going to bring the guy back. But I just, you know, the cheering and the tailgating and all of that with the grieving family right there, I don't know. That never really sat right with me. But it's over now, and that's all that matters. And now the other side's trying to get their words out. In particular, Michael Proctor, the former Mass State Police investigator who got fired and who was not part of the second trial. And I think that's a big reason why she was found not guilty on all those counts, because the first jury was 9-3 for guilty on manslaughter, and this one was 0 for guilty on manslaughter. And I think the fact that the lead investigator didn't testify and couldn't be brought in to testify, the prosecution couldn't bring him in. He was a ruined witness, and the defense didn't need to. They could just talk about him. So they didn't need to actually have him in there as a hostile witness saying whatever he wants. So they got left out of the trial, and now he's trying to maybe rehab his image a little bit. And I don't think this was a good idea for him. I don't think it was a good idea for him to go. I think he went on Dateline last night and tried to explain himself. And I think that was a mistake. It wasn't Dateline. It was 2020. I thought it was a mistake for Reed to do all those interviews. I don't think any of those really helped her that much. I think other things did, but I thought those were probably the strongest part of the prosecution's case when they showed those videos of her talking about, I didn't say I hit him, but, you know, it ended up not making a difference. I think this is a bad idea for Proctor, but I will say, I've heard rumors now that Proctor may get his job back once the dust settles on all this. So I'm not really sure what he's doing these interviews for. I don't think this is anything that's going to help rehab his image or anything like that. His reputation, I mean, you know, this is way too high profile of a case. And now if you were on the John O'Keefe side and believe that Karen Reed did it, now Proctor has no friends because obviously the Free Karen Reed people already hate him. And now the Karen Reed did it people are mad at him because he tanked the case. You know, like that's sort of where he is right now. So I'm surprised that he's talking. I would have thought that he'd just keep quiet and keep his head down and try and get another job somewhere, or try and get his job back, whatever it is, and keep a low profile. But now he's out there doing interviews. Very, very strange. I think that's a strange update to hear from him at this point. But anyways, the other piece of news that I wanted to tell you about has nothing to do with Karen Reed and everything to do with the fact that it is hot as balls out there. I was outside for 5 minutes today, and I sweated my man boobs off. They're gone. I know. Isn't it great? I've been meaning to get rid of them, and I sweated them off today. And that's not all. Beaches around Massachusetts are closing. More than a dozen beaches in Massachusetts closed today due to bacteria concerns as the feel-like temperature gets close to 100 degrees. That's what it felt like today. It felt like it was about 100 degrees today when I went outside, and it's because of the humidity. The humidity is the worst it's ever been right now with these very high dew points and so forth. I'm not going to get into the meteorology of it because who cares? Just letting you know it's very, very hot. And they got to monitor the water quality when it gets hot like that. But I didn't think we were at the point already where we're shutting down the beaches. Doesn't it take a while for bacteria to get made? Doesn't it take like at least a couple of weeks? Like it just got hot and they're shutting the beaches down already?
So I think I have an idea of why they're shutting them down. So I live down the street from a beach where I am in the North Shore.
Brag.
Yeah, sick brag. And they have to shut down the beach because of the overflow rain. So sometimes it will rain so hard that the street will flood and the drainage system leads out to that specific part of the beach.
Got
so
it.
If there's a big rain event, anything like that, it seeps into the ocean water, and the town usually has to put up, like, don't swim for 48, 72 hours because of this overflow rain. And I'm guessing these towns went through the same thing because it rained for 13 straight Saturdays or something like that.
It did. It was ridiculous. And it goes from raining every weekend to now, like, impossibly hot. These are the beaches that are closed, and there may be more. But you had, you had Constitution Beach in Boston, Walden Pond in Concord, Short Beach and Revere, Collins Cove and Salem, Juniper Point, Peckham Pond and Saugus, Pearl Hill Pond Beach and Townsend, Crow Hill Pond Beach and Westminster, Donovan's in Winthrop. All these beaches getting closed down on the hottest day. Today was a good beach day, I would think. And if you ever been to the beach when, like, I was in Florida once, brag. And it was in the summer, which is not when you're supposed to go there. And we went to the beach, and I went in the water, and it was like bath water. It was, I don't think it cooled me off really at all. And that's when I was like, maybe the planet is getting a little hotter. maybe there's something to this. I've never, ever experienced that before. I've never been in ocean water that did not cool me off. You do it on the East Coast beaches, and you're freezing no matter what time of year it is. It's always cold. But in other places, it is not like that.
I mean, there's been a couple of beaches I've been to where it has been like bathwater, and some people like that. They don't want to dip right in and go freezing cold, even though they might be extremely hot.
Yeah, it's true. I'm a lake guy. I like the lake more than the ocean. I've always been, ever since I was a little kid, always been a lake guy.
That's got a shot for more bacteria than the ocean.
That's true. I mean, you're right about that. But, listen, what do you want from me? We go up to... the Lakes region up in New Hampshire, which I think is really God's country. And Greg Hill Show is going up there. They're going up to the Nazwa, and they're going to Alton Bay. And I think the show is going to be in Alton Bay at, I forget what the name of the place is, the Dive, I want to say. And at the Nazwa, which is in Paugus Bay up in Laconia, they're going to be there the night before. And I'm going to try and be up there at the same time as them because I love it up there. I do. That's my home away from home. I still have a bunch of friends who live up there. Got my old haunts I like to hang out at when I'm up there. I'm going to be going up there this weekend, I think. So it should be a lot of fun. Anyway, that's what's going on in the New England.
Just avoid the water.
I mean, if it stays like this, I'm not going to avoid the water. I will roll the dice with my gastrointestinal constitution. If I'm hot enough, I'm going in the water. I don't care. Let's go to Ron in Medford. He has a thought on Karen Reed. Go ahead, Ron.
How you doing, Christian?
What's
up? I tell you right now, the reason why this trial was lost by the prosecution was because she had as many supporters as she had out there because this thing was televised. Hmm. And when you watch Jen McCabe and her falsehoods and never once would ever just admit that she wasn't telling the truth, FBI's gone 10 minutes, did you call anybody? And they'll ask you 50 times. All of a sudden she talks to her husband who's in law enforcement who says, look, you got to tell them the truth. It's a federal crime to lie to them. You got the other cop where John O'Keefe's body was found. He's got a German Shepherd police dog, him and his wife. Jen McCabe calls inside. You got sirens, an ambulance coming there with the lights going, and they didn't hear nothing. They didn't see nothing. The marks all over for that poor guy O'Keefe's body. No way that came from a car. I mean,
yeah, well, Ron, listen, Ron.
After 13 years.
No. I know all the details, Ron, and you're right about that. And thanks for the call. I'll just say this: all of those details were the same in the first trial. All those details were exactly the same in the first trial, and nine of those jurors said that she hit him. So, you know, like there was a difference, but maybe it was the jurors were just different. It could be as simple as that. But I do think that the way that the case was presented had a big, big impact on the fact that Proctor didn't testify, and that the defense ditched the conspiracy theory. I think that really helped them. They just pointed at reasonable doubt. Here's all the things that don't make sense. Here's all the ways that the cops screwed up the investigation. Here's all the reasonable doubt. And they had this big visual image of it in the closing statements, which I didn't see. You didn't see that on TV. But all the people who were in the courtroom reporting on it said it was really effective. And I'm sure it was. I thought the defense team did a tremendous job. But all those details, all the stuff about the dog and the Alberts and the house and all that stuff, that was all facts that the jury heard in the first trial. And nine of them still said she did it. So you have to sort of look at what was different. And the lawyers were different, the message was different, the presentation was different, but I think the main things that led to this verdict were no Michael Proctor and the fact that they didn't really make it an either-or situation at the end. The defense didn't say, okay, well, this didn't happen because this happened, and you have to believe this thing, and if you don't believe this thing, well, then I guess you believe that she did it. Instead of doing that, they just pointed to all the problems, and there were so many of them. I mean, you're right. There were so many problems with the investigation, with the cops, and with everything else. That's what I think led to this verdict. That's just my take on it. Anyways, that's probably the last Karen Reed update we'll have for a while. I know there might be some civil trials. I guess we'll talk about them. If, if those come up and there's anything newsworthy there. But I think we're probably ready to close the book on all of this until the next piece of news comes up about it, and then I'll probably talk about it again. There you go. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, MLB.com put out a poll for the American League Rookie of the Year. One Red Sox name is on it that you shouldn't be surprised by. One of them I was definitely surprised by, so we'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hill comes set, his pitch, hit hard and deep, left center field, way back by the wall, off the wall, the Red Sox win. Narvaez, a wall ball, and the Red Sox win it. Another classic Red Sox-Yankee ball game on a Friday night at Fenway Park.
Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, Carlos Narvaez highlight right there. Maybe an all-star this year. Certainly playing like one and has been huge for this team and this offense. An offense that has struggled to score runs lately. Narvaez has been one of the few bright spots, and going forward without Rafael Devers, that's to be, I don't know if it's to be expected, but it's something that I think Red Sox fans and Alex Cora and everybody else hopes continues. With that being said, MLB.com today put out a graphic on Twitter that said Rookie of the Year in the American League, chosen by a panel of MLB.com experts. And I thought this was an interesting little graphic. Number one on the list is Jacob Wilson, the shortstop for the Oakland, whatever they're called, the A's.
It's better than Soakland.
Soakland. Gross. He was a very high pick this year. He was like the sixth overall pick a couple years ago. Rushed through single A, was in triple A, I think, like his first in 2024, and is now playing very, very well as a rookie for the A's. And his numbers are probably the type of numbers that aren't going to be touched by anyone. He's probably got this all laced up. Jacob Wilson right now has a batting average of .359, which is second in baseball. And a .899 OPS. He has 8 home runs, 38 RBI, and that is in 70 games. So he's playing. It's not like he's a part-time guy. He's been up there for, he's played in 70 games, and he's putting together a monster of a season. So he's number one on this graphic. Number two is Carlos Narvaez. Carlos Narvaez right now is number two on the Rookie of the Year, American League Rookie of the Year, which was a list put together by MLB.com experts. So make of that what you will. Number three is White Sox righty Shane Smith. Number four is Jason Dominguez, the outfielder for the Yankees, who we saw last week. And number five is Roman Anthony. Now, I don't want to sound like a hater here, but why is Roman Anthony on this list? Like, we all think he's going to be good. He was the number one prospect, sure. And I think he's going to have a very long, fruitful career, but we're talking about the rookie of this year, like this year's rookie of the year. And Roman Anthony this year is not giving you rookie of the year. Like, you know, I know he hasn't played very much.
They're expecting him to break out of his 2 for 35.
Two for 27 is where he's at. He's 2 for 27 since he got called up. That's in 9 games. 2 for 27 with a home run, 4 batted in. He's hitting 074 with a 194 on base and a 222 slugging percentage for an OPS of 416. Now, I'm not trying to bag on the kid here, because he's 21 and he just got here and he's got a lot to learn and a lot to do and a lot to accomplish. But why is he on this list? Why is he on this rookie of the year list? It's all projections, I guess. And the experts are saying, hey, you know, this kid's probably going to be, by the end of the season, if he keeps playing, he'll be, you know, he'll be better than he is right now. And I agree with that. I think that's probably true. But isn't that a bit of a disservice to some of the other rookies who are hitting better than 174? I don't know. I just thought that was strange. Marcelo Meyer should be on there.
I was going to say, Meyer should be ahead of Roman.
Meyer should be number, I don't know if he should be on this list, but he should be ahead of Roman Anthony, wherever Anthony is. Meyer's been, you know, he to me, out of the three of them, including Campbell, who had that hot start, Meyer looks like the guy who's most ready. And he hasn't been great either. It's not like Meyer's numbers are amazing. He's played in 21 games. He is 13 for 59.
He's been so smooth defensively, but he's had a streaky bat.
220 with a 277 on base. He's slugging 475 with the home run, so it's a pretty good OPS of 750. I'll take that from a rookie. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not like any of them are really killing it right now. And I don't think that they necessarily need to, but I do think that when this season's over, we're going to have to take a long, serious look back at the way that these kids were handled, the way that they were used, when they were called up, how long they were called up for, who they were brought in to face, all that stuff. There needs to be, I don't want to say an audit done, because an audit generally means that there's going to have to be some big changes afterwards, and I'm not sure that's it, but a deep dive into how this all was handled, because this was supposed to be a really big moment for this organization. This year, and these three guys finally getting called up and contributing was supposed to be something other than what it's been so far, in my opinion. And there's still lots of time for it to become that thing. But right now, with Campbell getting set down, with Anthony off to a tough start, and with Meyer better than the other two, sure, but still not exactly huge numbers here, I think we're beginning to get into a point where we can start asking some of these questions. And how exactly is this going to play out? Is Campbell going to be the only one of those three to get sent back down? That's a fair question, I think. If Anthony keeps hitting 174, then you can certainly ask that question, and it's not an unfair one. And a lot of these ideas for trades, we just heard that, you know, Jaron Duran with Padres are hot for him. Team's probably calling for Willy Abreu. If you trade any of those guys, then Roman Anthony is your guy no matter what. Like, even if he still needs a little bit more seasoning down there in Worcester, or out there in Worcester, you trade one of those outfielders, that's out the window. Then that pressure is on Roman Anthony, because he's not going back down. Nah, buddy, you're our left fielder. You're our right, whatever it is. You're our outfielder. You're up here. We want you playing every day, and now you are. No more log jam. All set for you. And I'm not sure if that's the best possible outcome for someone like Anthony, who's struggling so far. I guess we'll see. We'll see. I'd really like to see him pick it up starting tomorrow. A couple of taters in McCovey Cove would look nice. Either way, I find it interesting that he's on a list for American League Rookie of the Year with those numbers. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Red Sox are climbing up the power rankings. We'll get to some of those. Some final thoughts on the Devers trade before they face him tomorrow. And we'll take a look ahead at the upcoming Red Sox schedule. And after the first segment, 920 to 925. I can't nail down an exact start time because who knows? The Dongs can be unpredictable. But we'll have the Dongs for you in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. 920. The Dong Report is back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.